Well, the scripture says, today is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. We have much to be thankful for today. I appreciate the time that we have together again this morning. Another week has quickly passed and is in the history books. And I'm glad that the Lord has given each one of us another opportunity to demonstrate our heart's desire to serve Him. And I want to redeem the time. This past week went by quickly. The week before that moved along too. And our lives are like that. We move quickly. Life is but a vapor that appears for just a little time, and then it vanishes away. Somebody said the other day, what happens, where will you be when the vapor's gone? I want to redeem the time today. Last Sunday we read the verses in the 100th Psalm that said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And we spent some time on the service portion of that. And this morning I don't want to pass the opportunity to spend a little bit of time on the how part. How the Lord would like us to serve. It says that the Lord would like us to serve with gladness. And I wonder this morning, are there any parents here that would desire to have dour, unthankful, discouraged, murmuring, complaining, cantankerous children who would just really rather not obey you and follow after you? Any parents here today like that? That's what you call a rhetorical question. Because everybody knows the answer to that. If you're a parent, you don't want... that's not the kind of children that you want to have in your house, right? I mean, you want happy, encouraged, joyful, just happy to serve, right? Well, it doesn't always happen that way at home. But did you know that the Lord wants children that are happy? That are happy to serve Him. Glad to be in His service. Encouraged. The psalmist said, make a joyful noise. And last Sunday we posed a question around that and asked the question, what kind of noise are you making? Because the Lord is hearing a sound that's coming from your life. Now, those that are in the know, those that study communication, there's what's called the, hope I have this order, the 55-35-10 rule. Does that all add up to be 100? 55-35-10, I think so. Plus or minus maybe a few percent. And it goes something like this. When we communicate with other people, 55% of our communication and what gets conveyed to whoever it is we're communicating with is from our body language. 55%. Now you can look it up and you may find some variations, but you're going to find it's close. 35% is our tone of voice. You know what comes in last at 10%? The words that we say. What does that say? What does that say about the words that we say? You heard the turn of phrase, talk's cheap. It's cheap if it's not backed up by something more than that. And did you know that the Lord, He's looking on our lives and He is observing and reading our body language too. We say we love Him. We say we want to serve Him, and maybe we are doing whatever we can to serve Him. We may come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and have and say words. But our life is telling a story. How are we serving Him? What is being conveyed to the Lord by the tone of our voice? If I greet somebody and they're in front of me and I say, "Hi, how are you doing today? I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you this morning." I just got finished telling them I was thrilled to talk to them. Are they going to be thrilled with talking to me? Probably not. They're for sure going to feel like, well, he really wasn't that interested in me. He was distracted with something else. He said the right words, but he did not convey from his heart that he was thrilled to be talking to me. And I'm challenged this morning. What is the Lord reading from my life? When the Lord looks down and he sees me and I'm not hidden in a congregation or a group, and he dials in on me, what am I telling the Lord? We have so much today to earnestly from our hearts praise the Lord for. He's the God of heaven. He's the Creator. He's done so much for us that we didn't deserve. And He bids us follow Him and serve Him and find love in Him. And He wants us to enjoy serving Him. That's the experience He wants us to come to. I know, and we'll get to that a little bit. I want to say this before we go any further. I'm not endeavoring to preach a message today that is above or beyond reality of Christian living. We are people with emotions. But the pattern of our life, the Lord does have an experience for us where we can be happy to serve the Lord. You may not be happy to serve your boss at work, but you have to, and so you do it. Doesn't mean you're happy about it. Doesn't mean you're glad, but you'll do it. But the Lord, He's God, and He loves us, and He wants to do so much for us. And if we'll let Him, we can serve. We can demonstrate service with gladness. And I'd like to read a passage this morning in the 5th chapter of Joshua. Joshua 5 and 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Joshua was out spying the land of Jericho. Remember, this is what he was doing. He was out, he was going to look over the land that they were getting ready to go in and try to conquer. So that was their adversary. That was their enemy. So Joshua was out and he was going to spy out the land, and he comes upon a man with his sword drawn. When I think about this, this is kind of an aside. I'd like to know what that sword was made of. I'd be I'd be interested in seeing that sword. That sword that was made by the captain of the Lord of hosts. Well, he ran into a man that was holding out the sword, and what the first thing he said was, "Are you for us or are you for them?" And I think about that and I think, why is it that so often it seems like we turn everything into about us? Who said he was for you or for your adversary? What makes you think that whatever it is you're facing always has to do with you? That's another lesson, but it's something not to just let go by. We would do well if we would go through life without always feeling like that everything we're part of is just has to do with us. And the captain of the Lord of hosts answered his question. And he said, no, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. That's not what I'm here for. I am come as the captain of the Lord of hosts. And then he gave him an option. He posed something to him that he could either do or not do. But he told him, he said, take off your shoe. Because the ground you're standing on is holy. And it said that Joshua did take off his shoe. I read that. What does that mean? Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And I feel like that the Lord would have us set aside what we're so comfortable standing on. Our thoughts, our beliefs, the shoes that take me where I want to go, that represents what I think I'm all about. And the Lord said, you're in holy ground right here. And what you need to do is you need to set all of that to the side. Because you're in the presence of God. We can choose not to. And we won't hear the word of the Lord if we do that. Well, he ended up giving him instruction that led to a great victory. The captain of the Lord of hosts, when Joshua did according to what he was asked to do, was given instruction that led to walls coming down that separated him and the people from riches and land that the Lord would have them occupy. And well, you may wonder, what does this have to do with serving the Lord with gladness? And this is what I'm inspired with today, and that is, we serve the same God that caused the walls of Jericho to fall. That's the same God that we're serving today. We have access to the same Word of God that Joshua did. We can follow the Lord of hosts too. We are given the opportunity to set aside that we're standing on, that we think so highly of so much of the time. The Lord offers us the opportunity to come into a holy place and hear from the Word of the Lord. We too have the option. We have the opportunity, if we will, to experience great walls to crumble that stand between you and the land that you want to possess. Do you believe it? The captain of the Lord of hosts is still alive. God, the same God that came and visited Joshua, he's still alive. And he still meets us in those places where we're going out and we're looking over the land and the enemy that would come against us and the walls that separate us from victory. The Lord is still willing to come visit you wherever you are this morning. You're not too far away. Your sins are not too great. You don't have a dark enough history that the Lord says, well, I can't do anything about that. The captain of the Lord of hosts, if you'll be willing, will come and he will meet you where you are. And if we will be willing to humble ourselves and set our shoes to the side and hear the word of the Lord, today we can serve a God that will give us victory into land that he wants us to possess that we otherwise wouldn't be able to possess. And so we have very many reasons today to serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord desires a happy people. He desires an encouraged people. The Lord would like to have a people that want to serve Him, that look forward to serving Him, that serve Him with expectation. The Lord, He's not about having a defeated people follow Him. He's about having a people that are acquainted with victory, because that's what He is. And so He calls us to serve with gladness. What ranks do you belong in today? I was thinking a little bit about some history in the Scriptures. Well, we were talking about Jericho. What happened right before the walls of Jericho came down? Right immediately before the walls came down, what happened? Were they discouraged? Were they crying? Were they moaning? Did they have their chins down? Was there this somber silence of defeat? No. And I don't think it was, you know, just coincidence or on accident. They blew their trumpets and they shouted according to the word of the Lord. And that's when the walls came down. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, sometimes I don't feel like it. Have you ever tried singing when you don't feel like it? It's like people say, well, sing when you're discouraged. And I'm thinking, well, that's why I'm not singing, because I'm discouraged. I don't feel like singing. Well, you're supposed to sing, but, well, when I feel like it. No, that's not. And so I've tried it before, and it's a kind of an odd feeling. You're trying to break through this wall. You don't feel like singing. You're discouraged. But you know, a funny thing happens. When you're looking for the Lord to meet you, and you've been marching around this same place, these walls, day after day, and then nothing's changing and nothing's happening. It's like, why should I sing and blow my trumpet now? I'm acquainted with these walls and they're always there. When they sang and they praised God, the walls came down. King Jehoshaphat, they had a great enemy that was, they were way outnumbered. And the Lord gave them instruction. He says, all right, I got it. Don't be afraid of the multitude because they're greater than you are. I got this battle, but you don't get to run and hide. You don't get to go into your house and then I tell you when the battle's over, you go out there and meet them. And you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And oh, by the way, at this particular time, then you go ahead and sing and praise. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. And they didn't even have to do anything. They just started killing each other. And they sat back and they were singing and praising God. And that's when victories came. Do you remember Gideon? Gideon, they were outnumbered. See, you know, in all of these instances, they were seeing things that were bigger than they were. The walls were keeping them from victory. Bigger walls. King Jehoshaphat was outnumbered. Gideon's army was way outnumbered. There's only 300 of them. Started out at, 32,000 and kept whittling that down till there was just 300 left. You know when the victory came? It's when they made a great noise and let their light shine. They let their light shine. According to the will of God. According to the word of God. They broke the pitchers, remember, and they had lights in there and their light shone. Did you know that there's victory in letting your light shine? There's victory in praising the Lord. There's victory that is associated with believing when you can't see. And saying, Lord, I'm going to serve you with gladness. The enemy likes to tell us, well, you got a lot of problems going on. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be serving the Lord. You know, there's no other way than that. But it's pretty dark, and there's not a real lot of light out there for you to walk to. And we can be resigned as people of God that have grown up this way, that aren't tempted to go out into the world, to resign ourselves to a discouraged Christian experience. Because we're not going to go out in the world. We're not interested. We know we've grown up, but that's not where our heart is. And so if the enemy can't get you there, he'll just soon like us to be discouraged and down and serve without expectation and without a spark in our heart and our life. God has something more for us than that. The Lord wants you to find the place where you want to serve. It's not, you know, the beatings will continue or the floggings will continue until morale improves. Have you ever seen that sign? It's like, well, how's my morale ever going to improve if I keep getting whipped? And the Lord's not saying, you will serve with gladness. He invites us to a place where we're glad because our heart is glad. The Lord wants us to serve Him in that manner. We're exhorted to serve and move forward in life with gladness. And I'm not saying this morning at all that the Lord has a decibel meter. It says, well, I'm going to see how loud they're praising coming out of their mouth. Not everybody is real vocal. Some would like to evaluate people's spirituality by how high they jump and how loud they shout. That's not what I'm talking about. The Lord, He knows how to get down in those that maybe you don't hear from very often. But there's something alive down in their hearts. There's life and there's joy and there's a happiness and a gladness that I know Jesus Christ and I want to serve Him, and I'm glad to serve Him, and I'm happy to serve Him, and He's done so much for me. And they may never have leaped and shouted in their lives. The Lord's doesn't have a decibel meter, but He does have a way of looking at our body language that is lifted up to His throne, our tone of voice. He does hear what we say. And He wants a people that serves Him with gladness. It's possible to serve somebody out of obligation and necessity. You can do a pretty good, job of it. But it's a whole other level when you serve somebody because you're happy to serve them. I was thinking about this message, and I remembered when I was a boy, I was maybe 4 years old. It was before I was in school. And I don't think I was practicing Philippians 2 and 14 probably a lot of the time. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. I'm guessing that I was doing a lot of murmuring when I was 4 or 5, because I remember one time my mom said to me, she said, you know, and my mom usually said things with a smile even when we were getting in trouble. And she'd say, you know, it'd sure make me happy if when I ask you to do something that you would just say, okay, Mom, okay, sure, I'll do that. She said, it'd make me so happy if you did that. And I thought about that a little while. I thought, why is she's, you know, why? She sure seems disturbed about the way I'm reacting. She seemed more unhappy than I felt unhappy. You know, I was trying to process all that. I thought, well, why would that make her so happy if I just said, well, sure. So I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to try it one of these days and just see what happens. And so one day we were getting ready to walk into the store. And I wanted to push the cart, you know, and I could probably just barely see over. And I said, Mom, I would like to push the cart. And she said, no, she said, how about, why don't you just let me push it today? And I thought, well, I guess now's as good a time as any if I'm going to try this. And so I said, okay, Mom, I said, that'll be just fine. That'll be just fine with me. You can go ahead and push the cart, and I'll just follow along beside. And I'm telling you, if they'd have had a power outage that day, Her face would have provided enough illumination to be able to go down the aisle. She just bright. She was so happy, and I was just as astounded as she was. It was like, why would that make her so happy? I don't know if I did that again anytime soon. I don't know if I tried that again, but I never forgot it, because I'm telling you about it today, decades later. Because it made such an impression on me that it made her so happy. Well, I started to learn more why it made her happy when I started having children. You know, then I was able to relate more with her. We can be willing. We can be obedient. But it's a whole other thing to be willingly obedient. The Lord is looking for a people to be willingly obedient. He is eagerly wanting us to find the place in our service to Him. That we're serving Him because we want to, not because we have to. He's looking for a people that serve Him with earnest expectation and are happy to do it. I mean, what kind of light is it to the world if you say, well, tell me, you know, what's the most important thing in your life? Serving the Lord. Really? You get excited about it? Supposed to be. Well, how are things going for you? Just got a lot of trouble in life. I know we feel that way. Those are real feelings sometimes. I don't live above that. I feel that too sometimes. We are emotional people. And the Lord notices our emotions too. When we cry, when we're discouraged, when we feel down, when the way looks dark, the Lord's not up there going, you need to be happy. You need to just serve me with... No, He knows when we're in trouble. He's a God and a Lord that is moved with compassion. When He sees us hurt, He gave us emotions. We didn't create that on our own. And so my message today is not, you're not a good Christian if you have emotions. I mean, that's the Lord gave us emotions. But He also wants us to know He's the God of the storm. He wants to be our captain in the midst of the storm. And so often we equivocate peace with the absence of storm. Don't we, as humans? Don't we equivocate peace and all things are good if there's no storm? And so then, so when the storm comes, what is the first thing we do? The first thing we do is we try to get out of the storm. I mean, that's what I do. That's what I'm tempted to do, unless the Lord, you know. That's our impulse. But what if we got hold of the fact that, wait a minute, the captain of the Lord of hosts whom I serve is God of the storm. And He is in control of it all. Then we can be able to start to tap in to what the Apostle Paul said when he talked about a peace that passeth all understanding. It's when we get to that place where we begin to have a faith and an experience. You glory in tribulation? I find that a hard verse sometimes. Glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation worketh experience. And experience hope. You know that the Lord, He wants us to start to see a pattern. It's, hey, tribulation came back there. You have the experience of tribulation. And I was with you. I took care of you. That gives us hope for the next one. That experience, it builds our faith. And the Lord wants us to get to the place that when we begin to face dark places. Not that we're going to be laughing with no fear or anxiety or emotion, but that we have a quiet confidence that we know who I believe on. I know who I'm serving. The song says there is joy in the service of the Master. But there's a catch to it. The Lord doesn't want our leftovers. The Lord doesn't want us to just give Him whatever's left. The last little bit of energy we have before we go to bed. He doesn't want us to just our sacrifices to be those things that aren't really sacrifices. We gave them, but it's not really a sacrifice. And we're just giving Him whatever we think we can just kind of sort of kind of get by with. You probably won't find joy in your experience if you live that way. That's not where the joy is. Joy in the Lord is when you have a close experience with Him. When you take your shoes off and put them over to the side, all the things that was so important to us that you're standing on, that you feel some security in because you have power over it. When we get to the place where we can unstrap that and set it off to the side, say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? Lord, is this a battle that you want me to be in for a while? Lord, help me to have the grace that I need in this battle, that I can come through it and learn something, be stronger than I was before I went through it. And Lord, that I'd get to know you better." And when we respond to the Lord that way from our heart, the Lord has an experience for us that indeed leads to joy. We are going to be tempted to lose our peace, of course. We're going to find a place where we can live without ever feeling anxiety or fear. I'm not there yet. But I know who to turn to. And I'm happy to serve Him. He's worthy to be served. Young people, the world does not offer you a more exciting, fulfilling, joyful way of life. I've lived long enough to figure that out. I remember when I was your age, I remember one time I was sitting in prayer meeting and somebody was testifying, you know, about how they had, you know, staying true to the Lord all your life. And I sat there and it seemed so far ahead. It seemed like there were so many years between me and them. How was I going to live just for the Lord all the time? And the enemy likes to cause you to start thinking, what might you be giving up? And all the fun. And you don't have it second best. Young people, it's the best way. I know of what I'm talking about. I work with people. I have for years. They tried the other way. I don't need to go that way to try to figure out for myself. All I have to do is watch. People that you would think has everything that life has to offer temporally. That's not where joy is. That's not where, I believe that was brought out in Sunday school this morning. That's not where all the happiness is. That's where a lot of the trouble is. And yet if the enemy can have his way, if he knows that he can't get us to go to the world, then he'll just make us Christians that are always looking at the world. And we're not happy that way. But if you'll give your all, if you'll give yourself to serving the Lord and just determine in your heart, set your face like a flint. Be strong. Believe. Try Him. If you don't like Him, the devil, he'll always take you back. He'll be there for you. Try the Lord. Serve Him. Don't give him second best. Don't give him the leftovers. Serve him with all your heart. Be all in. And if we do that, we will find joy in the service of the Master. The captain of the Lord of hosts told Joshua to take off his shoes. You want to be glad in the Lord? Set aside what you're standing on and serve him according to his plan and his way. Again, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It touches me and it'll touch you. His truth and all of the associated promises of his truth endureth to all generations. The same God that we read about today is the same God that looks for a people that are willing to serve. I want to give my life to the Lord this morning. And I want to be in the ranks of those that serve Him with gladness. I want to serve Him with gladness. Let's be encouraged this morning in the Lord. Try Him. Taste of Him. See what He has to offer you. The Scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Pray for me. I want to be true today. Amen.